Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Thank you for all you've begun to do. Thank you for how far you've led us. Thank you for the blessings that we've received. Even as we advance a bit further, Lord, we ask that you open our understanding to receive the engrafted word with meekness that is able to save our souls and give us an advantage even as we advance your kingdom. Take all the praise, take all the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. This morning I want to do Bible study in the next 1 hour, 1 hour 10 minutes, just to explain a few things from scriptures. And because I want to do Bible studies, I won't be saying so much. I want scriptures to define scriptures. Praise God. Like God's servant began speaking, there are certain things we don't ask for. When we ask for them, it's a sign that we are not yet mature in the things of this kingdom and in the things of the Spirit. And this is why it's important for us to look into the scriptures once and again, because what's more pertinent in the heart of God is to bring sons to maturity. As earthly parents, you know, when you have children, you are conscious about what they wear, you are conscious about what they eat, but your focus is not really what they wear and what they eat. That's why, even though you love them so much, you send them to school, they are away from you for 4 years, for 6 years, for 10 years, for 12 years. You are missing them, but you keep them there because you are more interested in these children coming into adulthood, able to take care of themselves. If you keep them with you, buying them bread and clothes every day, they will become useless to society. So as much as you want them to eat and dress well, you are more interested in bringing them to maturity. And so you will pay the price to ensure that they are developed. And when they are developed, they don't come to you to ask for bread anymore. The ones that refuse to grow, when they come to you and ask for what to eat, you tell them their mates are fending for themselves. They should go to the street, they should go into the world and make a living for themselves. That is how God relates with us. He's not just here to give us bread and wine. He wants to bring us into maturity so we can participate with him in the business of the kingdom. So when we are looking at a conference, when we gather in a conference like this, matters of spiritual maturity is more interested, and that is our emphasis. And the good news this morning is, when people come into maturity, the things they would normally come to God asking for, they begin to produce them. This is the beautiful part of it. But in order to come into maturity, you must be brought into illumination. You must be brought into understanding. This is why it's called the conference of light. This is why the emphasis is on rebirth. It's a conference of light because except illumination comes to you, you will not know what is important in the kingdom. And if you don't know what is important in the kingdom, you will not contend for it. And if you don't contend for it, there will be no rebirth. Praise the Lord. And so in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 17, Paul began to pray for the church in Ephesus. And these were the emphasis of Paul. He said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know. That's the key word, that you may know. When you know, then the journey of glory begins. If you study that scripture in the original rendering in the Greek, you will discover that very, very strong words are used there. That the Father of glory may grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That word is apocalypsis. It means the unveiling. It brings you access into the realms of reality. And it doesn't stop there. He said that he may grant unto you wisdom and revelation. That means when unveiling is granted you, you are also instructed on how to apply what you are brought into. And he didn't stop there. He said the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. The word enlightened is the word fortizo. It means to shed light. Because you can come in, you can receive instructions, but if light is not shed, you will still not make the most of it. Take for example, you walk into this auditorium in the night. When the doors are open to you, that is revelation, apocalypse. You can come into the hall. And they may instruct you that if you are coming into the hall from the left, walk straight for 4 or 5 meters and then take a left turn and mount the altar. You have the instruction, which is wisdom. You have the revelation, which is access. But if there's no light here, you may start climbing the altar from here. And you will collide with this speaker. Instead of climbing the altar, you will fall on the altar. So when revelation is granted, instruction is granted, illumination is granted, then he said you will come into epignosis. You come into experience. And if you don't come into experience, you can never advance the kingdom. So the question we are asking this morning is, what is the experience we need to come into? The experience we need to come into is what God designed us to be. I tell people most of the time, we are not preachers. We are not teachers. We are not apostles. We are not prophets. We are not pastors. All of this nomenclature are channels through which we give expression to what we are. An apostle is a man sent. But the man who is sent is coming with a kingdom. It's the way he administers kingdom that is described as an apostle. If his administration of kingdom is by advancing as a sent one, then he's called an apostle. If he's sitting in a tent and bringing people into maturity in the kingdom, he's called a pastor, a shepherd. If he's going into hinter places to bring people into the kingdom, he's called an evangelist. But the evangelist, the apostle, the teacher is not what he is. He's a kingdom envoy. The way he administers kingdom is the description that the title conveys. Now, if he doesn't understand kingdom, and if he doesn't have the power to administer kingdom, and he calls himself an apostle, he will make caricature of himself. Are we together? So this is the experience that Paul is talking about, that you may know. And the first thing you need to know is what you are in God. David, the psalmist, when he was caught up in the spirit, he came back with a body. In Psalm 8 from verse 3, he said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" I want to know. I'm called a king, but I want to know what is man. Because if I don't know what man is, I can be administering the office of kingship erroneously. And for all my life, I will do this thinking and making progress. But if I don't know what I am, I would not even know what I was sent here to give to my generation. And God helped us by sending us a man called Paul, who diagnosed carefully after having searched in the spirit, to give us an accurate expression of who man is. And as we begin to explore this, in case you are not what Paul say man is, then you need a rebirth. That's why the conference is important. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 7. This is what Paul called man. He said, "For man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is, for as much as he is the image and the glory of God." He said, man is the image and the glory of God. Man is not a biological creature with 2 eyes, 2 ears, and a nose. Even a lion has 2 eyes, 2 ears, and a nose. What distinguishes you from every other creature is that you are the image and the glory of God. And I attempted to explain what the glory of God is yesterday. From Exodus chapter 33 from verse 18. When Moses was craving for the glory of God, God explained two things that makes for his glory. In Exodus 33 from verse 18, and the Bible said, and he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. Now, Moses at this point had not understood what the glory of God fully is. He had done so much wonder. So he wanted to understand the glory of God because he realized that most of the great feat he was carrying out, it was the glory of God that was working it out, not him. So he wanted to see the glory of God. And he said, show me thy glory. Go to the next verse. And immediately he asked that question. God said, I will make all my goodness to pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. Go forward. And he said, thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. He had shown him two things. The first thing is his goodness. The second thing is his face. These two things are the things that makes for the glory of God. When you type the word glory, you will see the word kabod in the Hebrew. And when you type the word face, you will see the word panim. The word panim is the presence of God. And the word kabod is the goodness of God, the full weight of God, which is revealed through his goodness. So God is revealing to Moses that two things that makes for his glory is his goodness and his presence. Go further. Let me read the next verse. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Go further. And it shall come to pass, while my glory pass before thee. You remember in verse 18, he said, all my goodness will pass before thee. So he's calling all his goodness now his glory. He said, while my goodness will pass before thee, that I will put thee in the cliff of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hands as I pass by. So God called all his goodness his glory, and he called his face his presence. He said, it shall come to pass. One, go further, please. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back part, but my face shalt thou not see. The word used for face there is the word presence. And the goodness of God, as interpreted by that scripture, is the word glory. So when Paul began to study deeper in the spirit, he came down in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 7. And when Paul said man is the glory of God, what Paul was talking about is the singular fact that man is the goodness of God and man is the presence of God. So when you are looking for God, you are not going to be searching a cloud. When you are looking for God, you are supposed to be looking for man. Because man has become the goodness of God and the presence of God. This is why in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1, before he went down, he said, be ye followers of me as I am the follower of Christ. That means if you have met Paul, even if Paul doesn't preach, you will meet Jesus. If you meet Paul, even if Paul doesn't read the Bible, you will meet Jesus. We have become fake. So when we come to a place, we need to dress in a certain way, talk in a certain way, quote 1,000 scriptures for people to be able to perceive God. The reason is because the glory has been lost. If the glory is restored, even while you are standing, people will know that this one is different. There is something divine about him. So Paul is saying, until we come to that point, we have lost the essence of our existence. So what we should fight, crave for, and press for is to become a visible expression of who God is and what God represents. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 3, the Bible said, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophet, hath in this last day spoken to us by his Son, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. So the first time God saw a man was when Jesus came into the world. Because everyone that lived before could not mirror the fullness of his glory and the express image of his person. That was what God wanted to create in the garden. Let us make man in our own image. But before the project was completed, the devil came and truncated it. So nobody had walked in the fullness and the brightness of the glory of the Father until Jesus came. And so in Romans chapter 3 verse 23, the Bible said, for all have sinned, they have not fallen from power, because there was still power in the world. Moses parted the Red Sea. Elijah rose the dead. There was still power in the world. For all have sinned, they have not fallen from resources. There are still resources in the world. Abraham was rich and well stricken in age. The Lord had blessed him with all things. What we lost was not money. What we lost was not influence. What we lost was not power. He said, for all have sinned and are falling short of the glory of God. That means men no longer look like God. Men no longer carry God. Men no longer represent God. And so when Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, he wasn't praying for healing for humanity. He wasn't praying for resources for humanity. I'm telling you this so you understand what Christianity is. If you don't know this, everything you are doing at best is religion. When he was praying in Gethsemane, he didn't pray for breakthrough for man. He didn't pray for success for man. He didn't pray for prosperity for man. In John 17 verse 21 and 22, this was the summary of Jesus' prayer for humanity. He said that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I am in thee, that they also may be one in us. And he went further. He said that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. That means what God wants men to take out is not money, it's the glory. Go to verse 22 and see what he said. And he said, the glory which thou gavest me, he said, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. So the greatest need of humanity is the glory of God. When men lose the glory of God, they begin to pursue other things to make up for it. Because the absence of the glory is nakedness. The moment Adam fell from the glory, himself discovered he was naked. That was when he began to look for fig trees to cover himself. The reason people are looking for big vehicles, big cars, is to cover their nakedness. The reason people are looking for big mansions is to cover their nakedness. The reason people are looking for positions and offices is to cover their nakedness. Because the moment the glory is lost, man becomes naked. And when man becomes naked, he loses his territory. That's why Adam was driven from the Garden of Eden. So I told us yesterday that for us to reclaim this city and for us to be clothed again, what we need is not diamond and gold. What we need is not a black jeep with tinted glass. What we need is not a big mansion. Are all of these things good? Yes, for your comfort they are good. God created it for Adam. But beyond that, what we need is the restoration of the glory. Any man who is without glory is walking in religion. He may be called a prophet. He may be called an apostle. He may be called an elder. He may be called a deacon. He may be called a Christian. Whatever is called, it doesn't matter. Because when the princes check you out, they are looking for the glory in your life. If the glory is not there, nothing is there. And if the glory is there, everything has come. And I began sharing with us yesterday that there are many routes to the glory. But one of the potent routes to glory in scripture is the pathway of suffering. Why is this so? Because when man fell, flesh substituted glory. And flesh is the way of lust. And lust separates men from God eternally. In 1 John chapter 2, from verse 15, the Bible said, love not the world. It said, neither the things that are in the world. It said, for they that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And it said, what is in the world? It said, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. If the glory of God is not there, even while I'm preaching here, what I'll be emitting will be lost. Either pride, in form of arrogance, or in form of insufficiency that results in exaggeration, or I will be lusting after 1,001 things. And while I am yet preaching, I'm in the flesh. I cannot please God. Because he said, to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. A man who is spiritually minded is a man that have dealt with flesh. And flesh is not dealt with by reading a book. Flesh is not dealt with by understanding a doctrine. flesh is not dealt with because somebody invited you to a program. Flesh is dealt with when the economy of glory is restored, because glory is actually a token of the absence of flesh. This is why God insists that every man who will be called his man must begin to walk in the glory. If you don't walk in the glory, you are lost. There are no two ways about it. And there are many ways to walk in the glory. But one of the ways to access the glory, and I pick this particularly because of the territory where you are. The reason is because most of you are going through this same thing I'm talking about. The problem is that you are approaching it from the wrong perspective. When the devil throws an arrow at you, you are thinking you are in trouble. And some people are even contemplating relocating. You don't prosper because you relocated. Everything the devil is doing to you can turn out for your good if you understand that this is also a route to glory. This is why I took time to explain the benefit of suffering as a pathway to glory. And before I spoke about suffering, it was needful for me to highlight yesterday that suffering is not poverty. If you are poor, it's because you don't know how to apply the principles of the kingdom to be rich. Suffering is not sickness. If you are sick, it's either because you violate the laws of health and you put yourself in that condition, or because you didn't know how to raise the shield of faith and you allow demons and devils to torment you with sickness. All of that is not kingdom suffering. Kingdom suffering are the things we endure for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Kingdom sufferings are the things we go through for the purpose of advancing the kingdom of God. Kingdom sufferings are the things we withstand because we want to defend the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when a man goes through suffering, it's a verdict of his conviction that this one is not a superficial Christian. This one have known the Lord that he professes. Praise God. And I said, suffering is in three cadres. The first cadre of suffering are the afflictions you have to go through from your brethren. Because everybody that truly becomes genuine will be fought for what he believes. Whether in light or in darkness, go and start a company and see the first people that will laugh at you. They are your friends. You mean this is what you say, we go to the ends of the earth? My brother, don't waste your time. They will laugh at you until it begins to make a difference. It's a normal thing that happens. If you want to stand for God, the first persecution you receive will be from men. And it will not just be any man. It will be the men that are within your family or your cycle or your sphere of influence. They will want to destroy because they know that if you continue in this thing, there is glory in it. And the way they want to truncate it is to begin to fight and antagonize you. Many times, they will discourage you. If discouragement doesn't work, then they accuse you. If accusation doesn't work, they outrightly assassinate your character. That by all means, this thing will fail. But if you don't back down and you continue, then something on your inside will begin to come out. You know why? Because before that happens, you will put your trust in a man. Before that happens, you will put your trust in something. But when they go around and truncate everything you rely on, and there is nothing else to hold on to, you will be forced to look inward and to find out the God that helps men. At that point, when you have no choice but to rely on God, then you start walking through the fire, and God will teach you that you will not be burned. If there is an uncle that you can call, you will never fight to bring the glory out. If there is a pastor you can call, you will never contend for the glory. If there's a woman that you can call, you will never contend for the glory. But when men rise up against you and they cut off every human help that you have, at that point, you will find out where the altar is, because your knee will come to the ground. At that point, you will learn how to call upon the name of the Lord. At that point, you will understand how to fast. At that point, you will look for the revelation that makes men go forward in life. This is why God allows that level of persecution. Because if it's not there, you will rely in your comfort zone and you will go nowhere. In Matthew chapter 5, from verse 11 and 12, Jesus said, blessed are you when men revile you, when men persecute you, and when men say all kinds of things against you. He said, great is your inheritance in the kingdom. What kind of blessing is that? that makes for men to accuse you, persecute you, until you are left for destruction. It is in the valley of the shadow of death that men begin to see glory. This is why suffering becomes a channel for glory. And I said, if you succeed men, the systems of this world will fight you. Those of you who are in Gombe, you know that sometimes it becomes a challenge to even start a church. In Abuja now, if you want to get clearance to build a church, they will refuse you. So if you want to start a church, better say it's an event center. They can allow you to build 1,001 event centers, but not church. That is systemic persecution. There are many policies coming up in different nations of the world that negates the advancement of the kingdom. If you try it, you may end up in prison. A man went to China. I shared the video recently. And when he went to China, he was able to speak to 22 pastors. Now, that's a very big conference. You know you are suffering here in Gombe. But in China, if people gather like this in China and they sing in the name of Jesus, that means that is the biggest testimony of the year. What is normal to you in some places is the biggest testimony of that year, that over 1,000 people can sit down, sing songs, worship God, and praise the name of the Lord and go home. It doesn't happen like that there. 22 people came for a conference of a missionary that traveled from America. Over 13 hours by flight, only to go and address 22 people. And when these people showed up, they will begin to read the Bible from 8 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the evening. And they don't take breaks, because they don't know the next time they will have the opportunity to study scripture. So when they start from 8 a.m., they continue like that till 5 p.m. How many of you can sit and hear the word of God for 4 hours? Meanwhile, there were no chairs. They were sitting on the floor from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. And when the guy opened the book to read, he said he opened 1 Peter to read. And there were 22. He smuggled in 15 Bibles. Are they smuggling Bible in Gombe? That means you are enjoying. He smuggled in 15 Bibles and he gave it, but it was not enough. So when he opened 1 Peter to read, one of the pastors gave his Bible to the other person and started reciting the whole chapter. So he thought, okay, maybe he has read 1 Peter. They opened another chapter. He was reciting it. They opened another chapter. What's happening here? So after the service, he now walked up to the lady and said, I saw that you were reciting the Bible. How? He said, yes. He said, I learned it in the prison. Because by suffering, prison became the channel through which she entered the scripture. If she was at home, there's no way she would have studied the scripture like that. He said, I learned it in prison. You have been to prison? Everybody started laughing. Out of the 22, 18 have gone to prison. Why? If they discover you are a preacher, you go to prison for 3 years. So why they are in the prison, and some have gone to prison more than twice. Why they are in the prison, when people come to visit them, they don't bring food. They write a chapter of the Bible on paper, and then they smuggle it to give them in prison. So when a visitor is coming, they are looking forward to another chapter. That's what suffering does to you. It changes your appetite. As they bring the chapter, you will have to memorize it quick and throw it away so that they don't catch you. And so every day, somebody comes with a chapter, and they memorize it. When they come out of the prison, they have memorized almost the whole scripture. It will take only suffering to attain that level. When the man of God wanted to leave, they now say, please pray for us that we will become like the church in America, so that we also have the opportunity to gather together. The man said, no, I won't do that. I will not try that. They said, why? He said, in America, if service is more than 1 hour, people go home. You have sat here for 15 hours. He said, in America, if the hall is not air conditioned and padded, nobody will come. He said, you have been sitting on the floor since morning. He said, in America, every family have an average of 2 Bibles that nobody reads. But here, you don't even have one, yet you have memorized the whole scripture. He said, you need to pray for me. Such people, they live the life of glory naturally. But what brought them there is suffering. Suffering constrained them until their appetite changed. This is where suffering becomes a blessing. Because sometimes, when God wants to stir a revival, he allows suffering. Because it's when men find themselves in a pit that they call upon the name of the Lord. This is not to destroy you, but this is to force you to come to a point where the glory of God comes alive in your spirit. How many of you are there, and the day you didn't have money for school fees, and they say the portal will close next tomorrow? That was the first time you prayed for 10 hours. If that crisis didn't come, you would never have prayed for 10 hours. So sometimes, one of the ways to engender glory is by suffering. And I read to you a few scriptures yesterday. Let me read a few of them again. I try to read them again and again so that you remember them. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, from verse 5 to verse 7, it says, "For just as we share abundantly," this is Paul speaking. Paul didn't know a bit of it. He knew it abundantly. No wonder he operated the way he operated. He said, "As we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also does our consolation abound." He said, "If we were distressed, it is because of your salvation. If we were comforted, it is because of your comfort." He said, "And this produced in you patience and endurance of the same suffering that we suffer." How can salvation produce patience and endurance for suffering? Because there is a dimension of glory you will never see until God allows you to go through the fire. Now, the Christianity we are practicing today is a Christianity of using God to get our needs met. And so every time we gather together, it's because we are looking for something from God. The moment it's about giving something to God, everybody runs away. This is why we cannot advance the kingdom. This is why the glory of God is cast. Because flesh has casted a shield around the glory. It will take suffering to break the hedge of flesh. I've gone to places before where the most powerful set of people are widows. I'm not saying somebody should become a widow, but I'm saying circumstances have reduced them to a point where only God is what they know. And when these people say, "Jesus, it is well with you," go and sleep. It is well with you. I've gone to places before where it is unlawful to hold the Bible. But don't let those people pray for you. If they pray for you, come rain, come shine, it must happen. Because every day they walk out of their homes, it takes God for them to return back. And because it takes God for them to return back, their everyday life becomes a miracle. So Christianity is not an escape from suffering. Christianity is actually the grace of God converting suffering to your advantage. Because only by suffering shall you step into the glory. Many people run away from suffering, but that was not the way of the elders of old. This is why till today, there is no generation of Christians that have mirrored the quality of Christianity that the first church mirrored. Because in the first church, they had services in the caves. They hunted them, arrested them, but you will never find a fornicator among them. It will be impossible to come among them and find a liar. The Bible said none dared join themselves to them. Because there was something everyone carried. In fact, if you attempt to live in error, you will fall down and die. When Ananias came to lie to Peter, he was talking to Peter. Peter said, "You are talking to the Holy Ghost." Because Peter and the Holy Ghost is one. He said, "Why have Satan entered your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" Immediately he fell down and died. Service continued because it's not a strange thing. Somebody fell down, died. Service continued. It's not a strange thing. Because here, if you lie, you die. The glory is too strong. 3 hours later, so they continued the service for another 3 hours. A service that somebody died. They went and buried him. The wife showed up and lied again. He said, "The feet of them that took your husband, they are at the door." She fell down and died. Service continued. They had stamina in the spirit. Our Christianity is weak and beggarly. Somebody wants to hear a message, is lying on the bed, and he hears for 5 minutes and sleeps off. Somebody wants to read the Bible, he reads one verse and sleeps off. And in 10 years, he has not read the Bible once. Because there is no tenacity. to open the pages. If you were in a rock, the Bible would have become your consolation. The reason consolation comes from bed and air condition is because they have taught us to avoid suffering. This is why today, tell people to go on mission. They are asking you, is it to the United States? Is it to America? If you tell them no, it's Pakistan. Back where? Back what? How many pastors come to the north? You can count how many come in 10 years. All our mission enterprise end in Lagos, Port Harcourt, and Abuja. How many people come to Maiduguri? How many people come to Gombe? They don't even want to hear it. Because if you come, you may not go back alive. The reason is because suffering has been exonerated from our doctrine. We want to live for joy. And what is costing us is that we cannot see the glory. Paul did not just go through suffering. Paul told the believers that they too will partake of the suffering. Because God is not just here to make breakthrough. God is also here to allow you to be crushed so that the glory can come out. See what he said in 2 Corinthians 1. Verse 8. Quickly, brothers. He said, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came upon us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. He went further. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but to trust in God, which raises the dead. Go further. He said, who delivered us from great a debt, and God delivers us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. That means the suffering have not finished. If we continue in this kingdom, we will still need that deliverance, because it's an everyday carrying of your cross. If the Christianity they teach us is about the God that blesses, the God that breaks through, our world will be overrun. Because nobody will be able to stand in the heat of the battle and say, restore. If the Christianity they teach us is all about God, bless me, from January to December, you are being blessed, then our world will be overtaken. Do you check out our brothers who are of the other religion? Sometimes they load them in trucks to enter a city where the religion have not gone to. And they are doing shoe shining. They are pushing truck. When you know some of those people, you'll be shocked. Some of them have master's degree. I'm not saying go and be a shoe shiner. But I'm telling you the level of doggedness and conviction that they have. That because they want this thing to be advanced, they can undergo the worst treatment in order to see that it is advanced. That's why you cannot find any feeble one among them. Sometimes you come to a city, 10 people are living in one room. 10 people living in one room. They come out in the morning, this one carries truck, is pushing. This one carries shoe shining equipment, is going. And they are all over the place. This one is riding bike. 90% of the bike men, they are the ones. Why did they come? They didn't come looking for jobs. They came to spread the conviction. They came to spread the message. They came to spread another kingdom. And because of that, they are willing to undergo it. How many Christians are like that? When we go to a city, it's job that brought us there. If that job terminates, we look for another one. When we are in a city, we are busy from morning till night. Check our itinerary. You will not find 1 hour where we are doing kingdom. If the guy is a lecturer, from January to December, he's only marking script and going for lecture. You will never see 1 hour of his day that he say, I'm going out to win souls. Even the students he's teaching, he can't preach to them. You'll find the guy, he's a businessman. From morning till night, he's in the market. You will never find 1 day where he goes to the street and say, I want to propagate the gospel. The Saturday and Sunday that he has, he say he wants to sleep, that he's tired. That he has worked from morning till night, Monday to Friday. And then we think that we will see the glory of God. We are not taught to walk in the glory. We are not mentored to even value the glory. And so when we are done with our pilgrimage on the face of the earth and we are not careful, God will say he doesn't know us. Because when we went to earth, we didn't represent his interest. And the reason is because they taught us a Christianity that fertilized our selfishness and our appetites. When you want to walk in the glory, you must accept the verdict of suffering. Suffering does not destroy you. Suffering gets you to seek God and to produce a greater dimension of God in your life. Praise God. Praise God. Look at 2 Corinthians 1:7 and see what Paul was wishing his disciples. He said, our hope for you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of our suffering, you will also be partakers of our consolation. Our hope for you is actually for you to partake in our suffering. Because we know that if you don't partake in our sufferings, you cannot partake in our consolation. Why am I sharing this here? Am I being insensitive to your plight? No. I am saying this so that you'll be encouraged. That what you are going through is not for your destruction. There is a consolation that comes out of suffering. That consolation is called the glory of God. In Colossians chapter 1 verse 24, Paul said, now I rejoice in what I am suffering. What Christianity is that? Have you heard of it before? I rejoice in what I am suffering. When was the last time they taught you this kind of gospel? That's why even though you know all the doctrine of Paul, you can never be like Paul. This is why even though you preach the grace that Paul preached, you can never be like Paul. Because we don't even know the life of Paul. We have bastardized the message of Paul. People now say when they commit immorality, grace covers them. The grace we are preaching now is the grace that grants ticket for sin and lasciviousness. This is the man who is preaching grace. The man who preaches grace, the same grace that our preachers are preaching now, is the one that is rejoicing in suffering. And why is he rejoicing in suffering? Because of the glory that will be revealed. In Romans chapter 8 verse 18, Paul said, I know that our present suffering is working for us a glory. There's a glory that is in us that will never be revealed except as we stand affliction for Jesus Christ. When you suffer for the sake of the kingdom, you are not about to be destroyed. You are actually about to be glorified. Because the glory that is in you will never manifest until you allow that verdict of suffering. Now, what is in the glory? I want to explain a few to you now. The seven articles of the glory. You know, the church that saw the greatest wonder was the church that was most persecuted. Because the glory is not a feeling. The glory is not just a cloud. I told you the glory is what? The goodness of God and the presence of God. The goodness of God is not I love you. The goodness of God are mighty acts of wonders. When God parted the Red Sea, that was the goodness of God. When God caused water to come out of the rock in the wilderness, that was the goodness of God. When God demolished nations for Israel to walk through, that was the goodness of God. When God caused the constellations to be subdued, that was the goodness of God. The goodness of God are the wonder-working acts of God. They are the miracle-working acts of God. So when a man is suffering and he looks as if he's about to die, then suddenly the goodness of God shows up. Did you read about the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They were tormented, they were bound, and they were thrown into the fire. While they were in the fire, the goodness of God manifested. Because suffering for Christ does not destroy. Suffering for Christ produces glory. And one of those dimensions is the goodness of God. The moment the fourth man joined them in the fire, from that day onwards, they became gods in Babylon. Did you read about Daniel? He was thrown into the lion's den. There was no deliverance for him. But while he was in the lion's den, the goodness of God manifested. And the mouth of the lion was shut. And the lion could not hurt him. Until the next day, they picked him out. Immediately, the Bible said the king wanted to make him the president of the realm. When we talk about suffering, we are not saying you will die. We are actually saying you are coming into glory. And one of the expressions of the glory of God is the goodness of God. The second dimension of the glory of God is the presence of God. The presence of God is the government of his realm. When a man shows up, demons flee. When a man shows up, deliverances are engendered. It's not just because he's quoting scriptures. Make no mistakes about it. You can quote all the scriptures he quoted, you will not see all he's seeing. Demons can still torment families. You will come there with a long cross and collar. They will remain there. Because there's no government manifesting through you. People will die. You will pray, give them communion. They will still die. Because when there is no glory, everything you do is religion. But for you to access glory, you must accept suffering. Praise God. Now, when the glory comes, there are seven expressions amongst other things. Number one, the glory brings the light of God. Many believers are walking in darkness. They are confused about everything, including their marriage, including where to live, including what to do. And so you'll find people being scammed online and on ground. The reason is because there's no light. When people are saying they are false prophets, I laugh. The reason they are false prophets is because they are false Christians. Because only false Christians are scammed. They don't have the light of God, and they don't want to labor to access it. So they are looking for somebody who will give them direction in 5 seconds. They are looking for somebody who will give them direction for 1 minute. And because the person too knew what he knew by labor, he will tell you it's not cheap. And many times, they dupe people, take their money, and they themselves don't have light. Because light is a component of the glory. And what light comes to do is to give you specific direction. When you see a man who has specific direction in life, he's walking in the glory. In Acts chapter 9, verse 4 to 6, when light appeared from heaven, Jesus showed up himself in the glory and spoke to Paul. He said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus Christ, whom thou persecutest." Immediately, he said, "What will you have me do?" And from that day, direction came to his life. Rise up. Go into the city. You'll be told what to do. If you don't walk in the glory, trust me, you may live with a prophet and your life will be destroyed. You may live with an apostle and your life will be destroyed. Have you not seen many people before? It's after 30 years or 40 years of living in the house of a man of God that they discover they are in the wrong place. And then after 50 years of their life, they are trying to start living afresh. They have been destroyed. Because that you are living with an apostle or with a prophet does not mean you have direction. If you have direction, you will know whether you should be there and you will serve with all your heart. And if you have direction, you will know whether you should not be there. May the light of God not appear to you at old age. Because your life would have been spent before you realize it. Many people are living in a city where God didn't send them because there's no light. They struggle there until when they are 70 years old, they retire from service and they come back to the village. And they die 3 years later. That means they didn't live a fulfilled life. The reason they didn't live a fulfilled life is because light did not appear to them. The glory of God comes with light. And light comes to give you specific direction in destiny. I've seen people before who preached the gospel for 10 years before they realized that they were politicians. And the time they went to politics, their time had passed. Because the season God opened to them had closed. They didn't know it, so God have raised another person. And so they now go into politics and still fail. And they want to come back into preaching. People now say, brother, where are you going? What is happening? Don't you? Their life becomes a contradiction because they didn't have light. I've seen people before who just started speaking in tongues. And because they started speaking in tongues and they are on fire, they started calling them apostles. You are not apostle because you are on fire. You are an apostle because Jesus appeared to you and sent you. Everybody who is an apostle have seen Jesus Christ. Only a man who is not an apostle without it. There's nobody who is an apostle who have not seen the Lord. That's why we are called sent men. That's why our messages are not from Bible study. They are from encounters and they are from the burdens of the Lord. Because an apostle, Paul said, have I not seen the Lord? Am I not an apostle? It takes an encounter with Jesus and an outright commissioning by Jesus to be an apostle. That you caught fire and you are now praying in tongues for 10 hours does not mean you are an apostle. That fire may be for business. Because God wants to send you there to deal with mammon. And then you use that fire. You preach for 15 years and 15 years become 15 years of pain and confusion. While you are yet preaching, you have high blood pressure and you die. And then they are wondering, how can somebody be working for God and die? Because that's not where God says you should work for him from. He's working for God but from the wrong place. And the reason is because there's no light. Meanwhile, when he was growing up, that God wanted to mentor him. Every door that looked closed, he ran away from it. Meanwhile, God orchestrated it so that while he's going through the fire, light will appear to him. He rejected fire. Do you think the people manifesting now, they appeared on the scene? Go and hear their stories. You will know their wilderness experiences. Before Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit, he was in the wilderness for 40 days. If there's no suffering, there will be no glory. And the first expression of glory is light. You come and see a big building like this in Gombe. You see blue light. You see colored light. You see microphone. You see camera. You see people standing outside in order. You now say, man, this thing, I need to learn how it is done. Ask the man of God. Let him tell you the value of the shadow of death that he walked through. All of this instruction came as packets. One day, God said, go to Gombe. You come to Gombe. You are still laboring and praying. God shows up and says, go to this location. Meet this person. Do this. Do that. This is a collocation and a collection of particles of light that have aggregated into this manifestation. I taught in the secondary school for 5 years. I had opportunity of scholarships to India. God told me, remain in Makurdi. I was in Makurdi with master's degree, earning 22,000. I left that school to another school, earning 25,000. Lord, I will leave this city. If you leave, you are doomed. Because the light that came that time say, stay in Makurdi. How can I be in Makurdi for 5 years, getting to 7 years? You are not talking. Because there is pride in you that need to crush. And for that pride to be crushed, you have to go to secondary school every day. The first 3 years, I will see my friends. They'll say, where are you now? Hi. To now say, I'm teaching mathematics and physics. Me, that they call scholar. That man sitting there was my mate in the university. The things we say are not stories. You are lecturing in Gombe now, State University. That's my mate. He's a very intelligent man. He was our class rep. But I had the highest CGPA. I was the scholar of the class. How can the scholar of the class be teaching in a secondary school? When I relocated from that secondary school, I went to the next one and started teaching chemistry. They now promoted me to HOD. Guess the salary of HOD? 25,000. And God said, remain there. A point came, pride began to die. And when people ask me, I say, I'm in Mount St. Gabriel. Meanwhile, while I was going through these trials, there were still many temptations. The school I left before I went to MSG, the proprietors wanted me to cheat in WAEC. What if I cheated there? Some of my students follow me now. What would have happened to them? But in that valley of suffering, God was checking my conviction. Is it money you are pursuing? This pride must go down. And it took more than 7 years. Now, we can go anywhere, undergo anything, it doesn't matter. People will look at you and say, please, sir, hey, where would they? When you honor, you know it. If you don't honor, we are the same. We didn't come to preach for honor. We came to preach to win souls. I've gone to places before where we trek to the meeting venue. And when we showed up, the power of God moved mightily. But there are many young people like myself who have not touched anything. If you don't bring a jeep to carry them, they will not preach. They will say, you have dishonored them. Ah, you didn't discern their mantle. The last meeting we went for in Obolo, there are three of us in a room. In one room, lying on the same bed. Pastors were traveling from everywhere to see the apostle. I laughed. We have learned to abound and to abase. He took the valley of suffering for such convictions to be formed. The people working with me, we are like friends and brothers. When you see garbage in the souls of men, it's because they didn't go through the valley of suffering. And because they didn't accept suffering, they didn't give God opportunity to deal with pride, to deal with arrogance, to deal with anger, to deal with lust. And when they force their way to the top, they bring reproach to the name of Jesus. Every year you hear one scandal or the other. Every year. Are you the only preacher? I know they try to bring people down with scandals. But I also know that a lot of people are bringing reproach and ridicule to the name of God. One prophet on crossover service put a bucket in the front of the altar, and women will come and with towel and sit inside, remove the towel, he's batting them for favor. When they bat them, the other prophet will rub cream on their body. Lust that can't be tamed because they didn't accept suffering. And that thing they are doing is a demon that told them to do it. It's not God. But when a man enters the economy of the glory, light will appear to him. And when that light comes, he has direction. That man can walk through death. He knows where to step. He can walk through a bomb mine. He knows where to step. Where people are coming to and are dying, he will walk through it as if there is no crisis. And you are wondering, what makes you so invincible? It's the light of God. Because when the Shekinah begins to lead you, the Shekinah can take you through the Red Sea. The Red Sea will part. The Shekinah can take you through the wilderness. Stones will bring water for you. The Shekinah can take you through the strong nations where Og, the king of Bashan, is dwelling. You will lick them up. You will go through Jericho. You will go through Ai. You will go through every obstacle. You will succeed. But a man who does not have light, he will collide with everything and anything. There is nowhere that is impossible. It becomes impossible when there is no light. And God can only trust you with light when you have accepted suffering. Well, how do you think people are succeeding in ministry in Pakistan, in Afghanistan? When you hear the news, you know you can't go there. How come God's servant is succeeding here in Gombe? There are those succeeding in Maiduguri. How? Is it not the same Maiduguri that is littered with violence? What is happening? There is light. They know when to do their service. They know when to do their vigils. They know when to go out for evangelism. Everything is by the Spirit. Because light has been given to them. They are walking in the glory. And the sign that they are walking in the glory is by light. That man can wake up today and say, today is evangelism. He announced it in church. When he stood up to go, light will appear. And say, not today. He will call them and stop. And then you will hear that same day, where they wanted to go to, there was a bomb blast. The next day, he goes there. And he wins souls and come back. Another pastor will say, this is where they are winning souls. Go there, you'll be shocked. Another businessman wants to invest in a business. Light say, no. No, it's not this one. And he will wait. And somebody else that has no light will hear that this is what everybody is investing in. The day he invests in it, that's the day he crash. Somebody called me and said, he has lost over $100,000 in cryptocurrency. You know what happens to him? When a coin begins to go up, he will be checking. Should I buy it? He will go to this site, see the analysis, go to this site. The day he buys it, that's the day people withdraw their money. And the coin will go down. He will go and buy another one. It will go, there's no light. Meanwhile, there's another person. It's when it's going down. That's when light says, put your money now. And then he will put his money. And then when it goes up that others are discovering it, that's when he's removing the money. They are doing the same thing in the same place, but their results are different. What makes their result different is the light that they carry. But that light is a component of the glory. The reason we succeed and are invincible is because we have direction by the Spirit. That direction is what we call the light of God. Lord, what will you have me do? Rise up, go into the city. You'll be told what to do. Paul had mastered it, and it became a compass for his destiny. In Acts 16, verse 7, the Bible says Paul wanted to go to Asia. He said the Holy Ghost forbade him. He wanted to go to Bithynia. He said the Holy Ghost forbade him. I thought you said we should preach the gospel in all the world. It's not everybody that should preach everywhere.
And that night, while he was sleeping,
he said, a man of Macedonia appeared to him and said, come and help us.
You see what? A man can go to a place and is beheaded. It's not because God is not a deliverer. It's because there's no light. There is passion, but there's no light. There is zeal for the Lord, but there's no light. Zeal is not enough. This is why we wait until we enter the glory. When the glory shows up, God will give you light. That light is what makes you invincible. The reason Paul succeeded was because he was walking in the glory. And the sign that Paul was walking in the glory is that light was with Paul. And this is not for preachers. You can be in politics. You know when to vie for senatorial position. And you know when to vie for House of Reps. Some people stand up from governorship. The whole money they stole, they now use it and buy presidential ticket. And they lose from primary. It's judgment. If they had light, they wouldn't have gone there. And even in this dispensation, you will see it. APC alone have 32 candidates. All of them to pay 100 million. When they pay 100 million, how much is that? 100 million, 32 people. Governors, 50 million. At the end of the day, it's one candidate they want to pick. And the one candidate already is a nuisance in the spiritual. But those who are on earth without light, they don't know. If you have light and you know who is already choosing, you will use your money for an investment. 100 million can start a company. But if there's no light, some people will come and say, ah, Odogu, you are the one. You will now say, yes. Some fake prophet will come and say, Obangiji, Ebakajin Daddy. You will stand up and say, I'm the one. Your Jin Daddy will be in fire when your 100 million is gone. There's no light. This is why God will allow you to suffer for a season. Because our light affliction, he said, they are but for a moment. But they work for us an exceeding weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are seen, they are temporal. The things that are unseen, they are eternal. He said, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That joy is the light of God. The light of God. This is what makes us invincible. You see, as the wind bloweth, thou listeth not from whence it cometh or where it goeth. So are they that are born by the Spirit of God. When we have light, we will become invincible. You want to go there, God tells you he has sent somebody else. You hold your peace. You hold your peace. I know me too, I'm called, but I'm not sent here. You hold your peace. And you will see how your life will keep increasing and increasing. And you'll be like the just that walks from glory to glory. Contend for the glory. The insurance of your future is in the glory. If you elude suffering now, you will suffer tomorrow. While God is carrying you through the valley, follow him. There is a plan he has for you. He said in Matthew 4:1, the Spirit drove him to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But it was not about the temptation. When he returned, he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. He said that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentile. The people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the shackles of death, he said, a great light is sprung forth. When did that light come from? It came from the mountain of suffering. Matthew 4 verse 1, Matthew 4, 15 and 16, Luke 4, 14, he returned in the power of the Spirit. There was illumination. If he escaped the wilderness, there's no way he would have been the light of the world. Hope you know that before he came with that light, John already called him the light of the world. But the light never shined. It was when he returned from the valley that the light began to shine. When the Holy Ghost takes you through difficult time, follow him. Don't run away. It's for the sake of Christ. And when you pass that test, what will come out of you? Your generation can't withstand it. He said, kings will come to thy light. He said, men will come to thy, Gentiles will come to thy light. He said, but kings will come to the brightness of thy rising. The brightness. And when they come, he said, you will suck the breast of kings. He said, strangers will stand to build your walls. God is wise. His name is called Alpha Omega. Sometimes the reason he prolongs your days is because there's anger in your bosom. If he allows you to manifest, that anger will wreck it. The reason he allows you is because there's lust in your belly. If he allows you, that lust will wreck it. Sometimes there's pride and the level of power he wants you to wield. Pride can't handle it. Pride can't handle it. The Bible says Moses was the meekest man. That was why God gave him so much power. You don't give such power to an arrogant person. Praise God. Light is not a disadvantage. Darkness, suffering rather, is not a disadvantage. It's a benefit. Some of you are going through something that looks like crisis now. God is equipping you to train your children. Because out of your loins, kings are supposed to be born. But you need wisdom to train them. That's why we don't run when the Holy Ghost leads us. The second article of the glory. Is fire and coals. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 to 7. He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. And his train, he said, he filled the temple. When he entered the realm of the glory, immediately he had to interact with fire and coals. You don't walk in the glory without continuous and continual purging. While light, as an economy of the glory, brings direction, coals and fire brings continuous repentance. Every man walking in the glory progressively and continually repent towards God. You can leave a miracle service. Everybody is shouting glory to God. But God will be touching your heart with a coal and say, this testimony you gave was an exaggeration. And they will keep you there the whole night. Dealing with you on your bed. Dealing with you. You will be rolling on the floor. Not giving him thanks for the blind eyes that are open. But asking him to help you. Because you thought what made for the healing was the exaggeration is a lie. That's what would have destroyed the miracles. So every time we appear in the glory, there's a job the seraphims do. They touch you with the coals of fire. That is to produce repentance. Sometimes they invite you to a place to minister. You climb the altar with humility. But when God started moving, and you now discover that finally God has helped you, you now come down. Then the Holy Ghost will remind you that you didn't come down the way you go up, we went up. And because you didn't come down the way you went up, that thing you will not see it again for a season. You will pray in tongues for 10 hours before you go for the next meeting. You will still not see it. Meanwhile, the next meeting you are going for is the meeting that would have given you visibility. Because prominent ministers came. Prominent men in society came. The last meeting you went for, you were flowing in the prophetic. You called people, you x-rayed them, cancers fell. Now that the governor is around, senators are around, big men are around, and doors would have opened. They are streaming it on TBN. 200 nations will watch. They are now touching you with coals of fire. Because the last time you prophesied, you lied. And you acted in pride. You now tell God that, please, even if you want to purge me, let it be next week. This particular meeting, lift your hands. He will keep his hand there. You will come for the meeting. You will preach and preach. You will be blind like a bat. You will apply all the stones of prophets. You will enter the crowd so that your eyes can see. You will touch people. Nothing will happen. You know, when a prophet is prophesying, sometimes words come from direction. So you turn. Sometimes you turn. You are trying to pick frequencies. If it doesn't work, you enter the crowd. As you are walking in the crowd, you can see something about somebody. When they are punching you with fire, if you like, go and sit in the crowd. You will be blind as a bat. When you go through that, any other day you are ministering, if they like, they should put red carpet. It will not affect your posture. If the man of God like, he should sing about you for 2 hours before he introduce you. You will say, Lord, help me. Help me. Have mercy. Help me. Help me. Help me. That's why you see people who are in the glory, they are broken. Because in the glory you don't walk. God is the one walking. And if God is the one walking, you need to be aligned and tuned to God for him to walk. Because if you are not aligned to him, he will withdraw. The last business you went for, you had so much favor. You showed up. They said, no, you don't need interview. Come, join us. And then you now got up and said, that my CV, if you see that CV, even you know that you can't refuse it. So the glory is to your CV, not to God. Okay, no problem. You will now submit the CV for in 10 different places. They won't call you. You will call them back. They will say, which CV is that? We have never seen it. You will travel from Abuja to Lagos and submit the CV again. The next day, as you are coming to check, you will see it in the trash can. What's happening to you is that they are touching you with coals of fire. Coals of fire. Coals of fire. God will put his hand strong on you so that everything that contends with him is broken. This is why many times when you pray for people and there's no answer, don't kill yourself. They may be undergoing purging. And when they are undergoing purging, there's nothing you can do about it. Paul said God put a tone in his flesh. He called it a messenger of Satan buffeting him because of the enormous revelation that he had so that he can be in check. It's an article of the glory. When you see men who are broken so much, they have seen the glory of God. It was Pastor E. Adeboye that told the story. God told him to draw the human figure on the ground. And he drew it. And God said to erase it. He erased it. He said, the day you become proud, that's how I will erase you from the memory of men. So, that lamb-like attitude, it was forced. It's not charisma. It's not personality. It's not a type of personality. It's a law of the glory. He has seen the coals of fire. The day pride comes, we will erase you. Meanwhile, the man doesn't need charisma. Sometimes he comes for Holy Ghost service and he will sit down. He's not shouting. He's not reading 1,000 scriptures. He's just sitting down and 2 million people are gathered. 3 by 3 kilometer field. Overflow is 1 by 1 kilometer. And people on Dove TV, people on the internet watching, and he's just sitting down, talking slowly. You now know that it's not fast speech that provokes glory. There are coals. There are coals. When those coals begin to touch you, something will come out of you. When he has Holy Ghost service, Lagos Ibadan Expressway is jammed. Meanwhile, there are many other charismatic people in Ogun State there. When they stand to preach, they will talk in Hebrew, talk in Aramaic, talk in Greek. And when they finish preaching, their suit will be wet from the neck to the knee. But when you check the people around, they are 12. It's not the walk, it's the glory. When the glory comes and you accept the verdict of judgment, you will discover that you will become more and more like God. Some men will come for your meeting, not for the message you are preaching. They just want to look at you. When they see you, it's an encounter. It's an encounter. They just come. Have you not seen some of the... I went for Reverend Dr. Mawakwai's meeting. Everywhere was jammed. People were shouting. People were shouting. The first day they said, he just drove in. He's tired. So he went to the hotel to rest. Try it now. Your ministry career will end. He went to the hotel to rest. And then we sang praises. A pastor gave charge. People went home. The next day, 4 hours before the meeting, the place was packed. I thought people should have been offended. We came, we waited for hours. You say you want to rest? And when he showed up the next day, he stood casually, told one or two stories. When he finished saying the stories, I said, Jesus Christ. I've heard these stories before. I thought, even if you want to share stories, share a new one. Why are you repeating? And when he shared the same stories I've heard before, he now said, now, God will touch 400 people. He said, the reason he calls numbers is so that it doesn't exceed. Because if he doesn't give numbers, they can't control it. I now looked around. I activated my antenna. Everywhere was dry. I said, how can 400 people come under the anointing, under this dry atmosphere? I don't know. I was an emotional person. I didn't know the glory. A man that lives in the glory is talking. You know, say now, let them begin to drop. People were falling like mango. Like mangoes. You know when it rains and every mango, as the air is blowing and mangoes are just, that's how people were dropping. When they couldn't manage it, he now said, now it's enough. He now said, I will not pray for the sick. He said, because if I pray for the sick here now, we can't take all the testimonies. He said, but because I've mentioned the sick, they are already healed. I didn't watch it on TV. I was there. And when he said, okay, come for testimonies. What? I saw a crowd on the altar. Meanwhile, this is me that if I come for miracle service, I have to preach on healing to help the faith of the people before I decree and decree and decree and five people will be healed. What is the meaning of this? I had to go back and search his stories. And I realized that the things he has obeyed, the fire that have touched him, the coals that have touched him, they are too many. So everywhere the coal touches you, it becomes a vent for the glory. That was why he touched Isaiah's tongue. The moment he touched Isaiah's tongue, he became a messianic prophet. If the coal touches your hand becomes an instrument of glory. If it touches your eyes, it becomes an instrument of glory. If it touches your tongue, it becomes an instrument of glory. This is how men rule. You are a businessman, you need the coal to touch you. Sometimes you are going for a deal. All you needed to do was just to compromise a little. And instead of 10,000, you get 1 million. And the Holy Ghost is waiting and smiling with you. You will now say, God is not harsh. He's a forgiving God. You were deceived. When you finish, he will forgive you. But your wilderness journey will be extended. Because that appetite that made you change that figure from 10,000 to 1 million, it may take 1 year for them to finish purging that appetite. And God will not lift you. You will finish spending that 1 million and come back to where you were 5 years ago. And then God will come back and say, are you ready now? And then he will start touching you. He may start touching you by telling you to give all your money for 6 months. Somebody will dash you 20,000. He said, give it out. Somebody dash you 50,000. He said, give it out. Somebody dash you 100,000. He said, give it out. You now say, wait, I don't have food. He said, give it out. They are touching you with coals of fire. When you give out like that for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, money will not mean anything to you again. The next time they tell you to inflate figures, you will laugh. Because you know that this 1 million will be equivalent to 5 years. And so you will better hustle for 5 years than to mortgage your 5 years for 1 million. It's an economy of the glory. So light brings direction. The fire and the coals bring repentance. Everybody who walks in the glory every day repents before God. It's a progressive journey with the Spirit. And when you do this, there is yet another article of the glory. It's called sound. Now, when the sound dimension begins to come, that's when the supernatural begins to come. Because the code of creation is sound. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the deep. Nothing happened. The moment God said, light, appear, things began to happen. When sound begins to move, the creative dimensions of the glory is activated. That's why he said to the apostle, tarry until you are endued with power from on high. And the Bible said in Acts 2 verse 1, it said they were together in one accord when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Suddenly, they heard a sound as of a trumpet. The place where they were was filled with the Spirit. Cloven tongues as of fire rested on their head. Immediately, they walked out. And the miraculous began. As they stepped out, Peter spoke. 3,000 added to the church. Acts chapter 4 verse 4. Peter spoke. 5,000 added to the church. Acts chapter 15 verse 44. Peter spoke, a multitude was added to the church. Acts chapter 13 verse 44, Paul spoke, a whole city gathered to them. What was happening? It was no longer the tongue of a man. It became the tongue of an angel, because sound has come. When sound comes, the miraculous dimension of the glory begins. Sometimes we sit together and the sound of God begins to flow in our spirit. And then suddenly, you see people's hands begins to grow. Hair begins to grow. People begins to bilocate, because sound is an article of the glory that brings the miracle working dimension. When you see the miraculous happening in a man's life, there are sounds is echoing that are echoing in the spirit. It may not be audible. It may be an inaudible sound, but it's a frequency that the spirit recognizes. So he can come to a meeting, while he's standing, he hears in the spirit, just lift your hands. And he lifts his hand, and cloud fills the place. And the next thing, growth begins to dematerialize. And you are wondering what is happening. It's the glory. But what unlocks that operation of the glory is sound. For sound to come into your life, you must have entered the realm of the glory where you have found rest in the spirit. So God will tell you to wait many times, tarry many times. It will look as if he's slowing down your progress in life. He is actually bringing you to a place where you can hear the sound. The moment you hear the sound, you can outrun the chariots of Ahab. The moment you hear the sound, you can multiply bread. The moment you hear the sound, you can call the dead to come back to life. Instantly, you will begin to move by supernatural means. Many have not walked in the glory enough to hear the sound, because they are in a rush. They are looking for human connection. They are looking for what works. And because they are looking for what works, they keep going one step forward, three steps backward. One step forward, three steps backward. But those who wait, when the sound comes, anything and everything is possible. The sound of the glory engenders the miraculous. It's an article of the glory. You see why suffering is not a disadvantage? Because there are many things that come with it that becomes too much an advantage for you. I don't have time to share my testimonies with you. It would have wowed you. How God lifts a man from nowhere to somewhere, from a nobody to a somebody. You look at him, tender in age, tender in experience, but you can't tell what is happening around. It's because we hear things in the spirit. There are things we hear. And when you come to the realm of the glory, where you begin to hear things, you literally become invincible. My time is gone. You are not disadvantaged. You have just not tapped into the economy of the life that is on your inside. There is glory in your spirit. If that glory manifests, you really become invincible. When I learned this, I discovered it's not things, it's not the things we do that makes the difference. It's who we are and what we carry that makes the difference. Men who don't know the glory, they think things happen when they pray loud. Men who don't know the glory, they think things happen when they do a lot of things. Quit the gymnastics. That's religion. When the glory comes, the glory is the one that rules you. You can come for a meeting and that sound tells you, be quiet. Be still and see the salvation of God. And you show up and you are just standing there quiet because that's all you heard. And you stand there for 5 minutes and suddenly, terrible things in righteousness begin to happen. And you can come for a meeting, that sound comes to you and tells you, just sing a song. And you are singing that song. You don't even have a good voice. You are singing that song. And when you sing that song for 10 to 15 minutes, suddenly things will erupt. You will now discover it's not a long sermon that makes the difference. It is the move of the glory. But what provokes the move of the glory are the inaudible sounds of the spirits that you can hear. When you see invincible men, they hear things. They hear things you can't hear. That's why they do things you cannot do. And so when God is telling you, tarry, it's because there is a sound of heaven he wants you to hear. The day you hear that sound, you will sustain an advantage that nobody in your lineage have ever sustained. And then you will know that it doesn't take God anything to prosper a man. It's an economy of the glory. The fourth thing about the glory is the life of God. In the presence of God is the tree of life. They that walk in the glory, continually they eat of that tree. And when a man begins to eat of that bread of life that comes from the presence, three things happen to him. Number one is the fact that he begins to function as an indestructible personality. In Romans chapter 6 verse 4, the Bible said, Jesus was resurrected by the glory of the Father. So the power of resurrection is in the glory. When a man begins to function in the glory, one thing that happens to him often is that the word of the Lord comes to him. That word of God that comes to him is the bread of life, is the tree of life. That's why Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. People who walk in the glory, sometimes they wake up and they hear a word. Sometimes they wake up, a scripture comes to them. They will run on that scripture for 1 year. You heard what God's servant said. He said he was in the place of prayer and suddenly he heard, the people that sat in darkness have seen a great light. From September last year, that became the driving force into this conference. And like joke, because that word has come, even if we come to this conference and play, people will leave this conference and begin to see strange things happen to them. The reason is because before the conference was put together, a scripture has come forward. It's called the proceeding word of God. Some years ago, I was stranded looking for money. I called everybody I knew. Please give me this amount of money. Please give me this amount of money. And everybody gave me excuses. And I decided to rest with God. And I stayed in God's presence, worshiping and singing. Worshiping and singing. And a scripture came into my spirit. And he said, woe unto the man that putteth his trust in the arm of flesh. He said, he shall not see good when it cometh. He said, he's like a parched place of the desert, a salt land that is not inhabited. He said, blessed is the man whose trust is the Lord. The moment I heard it, I repented. It was not up to 5 minutes. Somebody I didn't call from nowhere sent me an alert that was 3 times the money I was looking for. I now realize that the word of God is the cure to human affliction. When a man begins to function at the frequency of the word, he literally becomes indestructible. Why is that so? He said, all things are sustained by the word of his power, including your life. When you start walking in the glory, there will be a word for your health. And when that scripture enters your spirit, even if you drink poison, it can't hurt you. They may be killing people here. When your tongue comes, something will happen that will exonerate you. Not because you did anything, but because there's a word that has entered your spirit. That word is the packet of life that the glory provides. There are many people today who are gullible, who are defeated in life. The reason is because they have not journeyed to the place where life dwells in the glory. When you come to the mountain of life, what comes into your spirit progressively are scriptures. There was a time I was sick and dying, and I was living alone. I laid on the bed. Breath was literally leaving my body. I could sense the angel of death standing. I did all the rebuking I knew to do. Nothing happened. I decided to rest in God's presence. And I just worshiped God and laid there. And suddenly, while I was lying on the bed, the Lord walked into the room. And then he sat on the bed behind me. When he sat on the bed and I sensed the bed depressed, fear hit me. I was literally transfixed. And suddenly I heard, he said, because I live, you will see tomorrow. Because I live, and I know that's the word of the Lord. Because I live, you will live also. The moment he said that, a being stood out of me and walked out. That was the end of affliction. I'm as strong as a rock. The itinerary some of us keep, by the mercies of God, if you keep it in 1 week, you will fall sick. As I'm living here now, I'm flying straight to Abuja. And I'll leave Abuja straight from the airport to Owerri to go to Aba to preach on Friday and Saturday. And I'll return from Aba on Sunday to preach in Abuja. on Tuesday, preach in Abuja. Wednesday, I'm on my way on a 2 days flight to Pakistan. And I will preach in 3 locations in Pakistan and return. And it continues like that. And as I'm doing it, the word of the Lord is coming. And when I go home and tired, I lie down. Suddenly, another word will enter my spirit. And the moment it comes, it jacks me up. I become as strong. These guys working with me, who are just following me, carrying iPad. I'm the one who wake them up. Sometimes we finish from a meeting. 2 a.m. they are sleeping. Wake up. Sit down. Let's do this. And then we finish doing it. Yesterday I went to bed around 4 a.m. in the morning. And I will never take any drug. As strong as a rock. Not because I'm young. It's because I've heard scriptures. I'm gathered together by scriptures. I was in Port Harcourt 3 weeks ago. And the body was tired. And I wanted to rest. And I heard, the harvest truly is plenteous. The laborers are few. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest, that he may send laborers to his field. I stood up immediately. Immediately, the fever left. I went to the evening service. The moment I started speaking, power began to move. I roared like thunder. I came back to the hotel. I started feeling some pains in the head. I said, Kai, let me sleep. Let me sleep. I slept. The moment I woke up, I heard again. Oh, Jesus. You need to enter the glory. When you need money, a scripture will come. When you need health, a scripture will come. When you need favor, a scripture will come. And you are leaping on scriptures like a rio, a gazelle on mountains. And people will look at you and say, how are these things happening? I'm walking in the glory. And because I'm walking in the glory, every step I take, I'm standing on a scripture. You are like a gazelle. Your balance will never fail. You are leaping from one mountain to another mountain. From one mountain to another mountain. Even when men think you have come to your lowest ebb, that you are about to be destroyed, in that state of fear, suddenly a scripture will be fired into your spirit. You are the head, not the tail. Ayah. When this thing comes, it makes you mad. It literally gets you drunk. This is how we walk in the glory. There is a life that we carry that defies death and corruption. So when you see a man living almost indestructibly, it's because he's walking in the glory. At 120, the Bible said the strength of Moses was not depleted, neither his sight abated. The guy was as strong as he was when he was 40 years old because of the glory. The guy literally could not die. God had to kill him. And when God killed Moses, he did it in secret. Because he was actually killing a god. Because by reason of the glory, he had become a god to Pharaoh. So he had to. It's a secret technology. The same way when he created man, he made Adam to sleep. When he wanted to kill Moses, he took him away from the sight of men. Because maybe it's thunder that came from somewhere. And it was a strange operation. Because the guy wouldn't die. At 120, he was stronger than the young men. And then you are wondering, what's happening? It's the glory. Some people today, every day they are on paracetamol. You have not entered the glory. Every day there is back pain. They wake up, they are like, you have not entered the glory. When you enter the glory, you become like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. And you need it. Our world is corrupt. Some of the food you eat, the preservatives in it alone are poison. You go to an eatery to buy food. The chicken have been there for 2 months. Every day they load preservative. They load preservative. And those are carcinogenic meals. You are eating food and cancer is coming. Because of the wickedness of man. The food is long overdue. They won't throw it away. They cook granite. They mix last week granite with today's granite. You eat, you bite one, it's fresh. You bite another one, it's rotting. You are sitting in your house. There's an MTM mast in your backyard. Releasing radiation into the atmosphere. Too many things fighting your health. You need to live under the glory. Because when Israel was walking under the glory, the Bible said there was none feeble among them. you don't live under the glory. Even your environment alone will kill you. You go to buy drugs, you have malaria. A drug that you have 100 kg of a substance, they reduce the active ingredients by 50 kg because they want to make money. And as you take that drug, it's no longer enough to deal with the malaria. The malaria becomes resistant. And malaria now remains in your blood permanently. Because the person that manufactured the drug wants to double the amount of drug in order to double his income. So even the drug you are taking for health is killing you. This is why you need the glory. Because the glory is what raised Jesus from the dead. The glory makes you become indestructible. If you don't have the glory, Christianity becomes religion. You will pray for the sick, even you know they will not be healed. You are praying, even you know there's no answer. You are just praying for the formality of praying. And so now, because there are no answers to our prayers, we want to spice them up. So we bring posture. We bring capital letter tongues. Men who pray are not moved by physical posture or the volume. They know what they are emitting in the spirit. Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Ah, Elohim.
Elohim Adonai.
Ah, Elohim.
I want to pray for us this morning. Some of you are going through a lot. And you are calling on the Lord. And the Lord said, be still. He's working on a program. For some of us, it's our families. For some of us, it's our ministries. For some of us, it's our businesses. The devil is attacking from everywhere. Men are attacking from everywhere. The system is hostile. And we are talking to the Lord. And the Lord says, be still. There's a program he's working on. I want your heart to be encouraged. There is something that will come out of you that will make you a wonder to your world. It's called the glory of God. If I had time to talk about the fifth article of the glory, I would have shown you that the fifth article of the glory is the waters of his presence. He said there is a river that flows from the throne of God. He said the tributaries make it glad, the city of God. This is why no matter what the devil throws at us, he can't take our joy. Because in the glory is an economy of rest. It's an economy of joy. In Acts 3:19, he said times of refreshing comes from the presence of the Father. The glory realm is not just cloud. There are many things that makes of it. And when you see a man who has joy that cannot be stolen, he's walking in the glory. That joy is the strength of God. Nehemiah 8:10 said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. This is why such men, you can't break them. Whatever it is you are going through, I came to talk to you and prophesy to you today that it's going to turn out for your good. Whatever it is the devil has thrown at you, I came to announce to you, after this conference, you will see the glory aspect of it. You will not die in that suffering, so long as it's for the sake of righteousness. You will come out of it, and it will turn out for your good. Amen. Our light affliction are but for a moment. They work for us an exceeding weight of glory. You have been through that circumstance for 2 years, for 3 years, for 4 years. It doesn't just stop in this conference, but as you walk out of this meeting, it provokes glory to your life. Amen. Because rebirth is not a rebirth of doctrine, even though that is part of it. Rebirth is not just a rebirth of something you lost. Rebirth is actually a restoration of the glory. Because in the glory, everything is complete. In the name of Jesus the Lord, as you walk out of this meeting, every suffering you have suffered for the sake of righteousness, it turns out for your glory. Amen. the demons that defied you, you will go back to torment them. The people that wrote you off, you will go back to prove them wrong. The circumstances that put you down, you are going back to pull men out of it. In the name of Jesus. This morning, there are a few set of people that by election of grace, God wants to bring into a heightened economy in the spirit. They have withstood a lot of pains. They've kept their crown for Jesus. They've refused compromise. They've not shifted ground. It looks as if their lives have been wasted, and indeed, it has been wasted on the Lord. But today, the Lord comes to coronate them. Men that have gone through trials and tribulations, afflictions, all forms of torment because of the kingdom. The Lord says He wants to coronate them this morning. Sometimes I keep it calm like this so it's not emotional. Now, I want to pray that spiritual ceremony will happen in the next 2 minutes. Do we have ushers this morning? Some of them will be slain under the anointing. Some of them will receive an encounter, even as I'm talking. Some of them will come under a strong influence of God's fire, of God's light. But there's an economy about to be stirred. There are at least 12 of you this morning that are receiving your coronation. The Lord is pulling you out of the pit and is about to make you a wonder to your world. Ushers, help me find those ones now as I round up to lay hands on them. Father, wherever they are, 12 carriers of the glory of the last day, 12 carriers of the graces of the last day. Please help that brother running. 12 carriers of the dimensions of the glory. The men you coronate this morning, from the left to the right, from the front to the back, to the overflow, wherever they are, now, touch them, Lord. Coming on you is a fire. You have gone through a lot of heat for Jesus. Now God is sending you out to deliver those who are in the pit. The conference is for you. As I speak now,
That garment falls upon you. That garment falls upon you. Receive that garment. You are not just pulled out of the pit. You pull others out of the pit. Take that garment of fire. Say the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people that sat in darkness, they have seen a great light. Your affliction ends now. Please stretch your hands towards me. I'm seeing somebody's eyes. A new lens is given to you. So what God is touching is your eyes, to open you up to see in the spirit. Father, whoever that one is, now in the name of Jesus, I call that person. Comfort. 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 I'm seeing a movement here. A movement here. There's somebody with a scepter. You will address authorities that be, whether in government or in the economy. Help the brother. Now, wherever they are, Lord, pick them out by the Spirit. By the Spirit. By the Spirit. In the name of Jesus, come out. Something you had with God, but you've lost it. Please help Mama so she doesn't get injured. There's an authority you once commanded with God, but you have lost it. I can literally tell you, see you stopping the rain. It was normal to you. You lost it many years ago. And now you are supposed to advance into kingdom business, but there's no authority anymore. You are trying to use a lot of things to cover for it. The Lord says tonight, He restores you. Whoever that one is, and everybody in that category, as I speak now, in the name of Jesus the Lord, that authority you lost, in the name of Jesus, receive it back. Receive it back. Receive it back. Take that grace. Glory, one of the things that happens is that you hear sound. I'm a revivalist. I don't preach like this. But I have too many engagements, so I consciously conserve my energy. But the same things that happen when we are roaring. If I am preaching in my element, you can't sit down. But I can't do that all the time because I have a lot of engagement. And because I know I can't do that, I had to consciously learn to walk in the glory.
So that what you are supposed to receive, you still receive it. And the way to flow is to hear. When you hear, you'll be talking as if you are playing. Things will be happening. Because the Holy Ghost is working. There's somebody here that has a rod of intercession. You are a mighty intercessor. But as I'm talking now, you are struggling with prayers. You have lost it. But because you came for this conference, God is restoring it. Because now, there's a deliverance mantle that should come into that manifestation. But now, even the prayer, you can't pray. But by the Spirit of God, wherever that person is, ushers, somebody will go down violently. By the Spirit of the living God, take that rod. Supposed to drop the mic now. There's somebody calling me here. You came for an encounter. He said, Lord, what this man has, give it to me. That's why you came for the conference. You would have watched it online, but you came because you say, I want to take what he has. Now freely I have received, and so freely I give to you. According to your hunger and according to your faith, such as I have here and all around this building, in the name of the Lord, take that grace. Yeshua, ah, ah, ah. Yeshua, ah, 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 ah. Yeshua. Father, that song, remember it. That's our healing song this night. Don't forget it. I don't want to struggle. Tonight is a healing service. Please bring the sick. If the sick don't come, nobody will be healed. And I prefer those with crutches. So look for them and bring them for the service this evening. Praise God. This brother wearing a black shirt, can you lift your hand? I'm not praying for you yet. There's somebody around him that has a heart condition. I'm saying, the angel of the Lord is telling me that somebody has been struggling with a heart condition. And he showed me this brother. So somebody around him is having a heart condition. I just need to put hands on you and that affliction will end. Is there anybody there like that quickly? That I need to pray for before I leave here. On these two rows, you have a heart condition? You had it before? For how long? For a long time? Okay, come.
Brother, since you lifted your hands, Father, in the name of Jesus, I release upon him the anointing to get wealth, a grace for entrepreneurship. Father, in the name of Jesus, now, take that grace and walk in it.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.